Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Veneria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Veneria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
And yes, our happy hour is brought to you by the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, where we will be there on December 19th for our Christmas spectacular. And it'll be a very special show, so you want to make sure you come out and join us for that. You don't want to miss it. Trust me when I tell you that. It's going to be a lot of fun. And Randy Weingarten, the troll under the bridge, was out there with the Starbucks employees who were striking, and she's screaming her little troll head off, and she's doing that. So we'll get into all that with you in the next hour and 2 hours. We got 2 hours to go until we're all done. But Eric Swalwell has now been criminally referred to the DOJ. That's right. Everybody's favorite tutor, Eric Swalwell, criminally referred to the Department of Justice for mortgage fraud. We'll get into that as we continue along the show here today. But I tell you, you know, as I was thinking about commies, and Kennedy mentioned Bernie Sanders and Nancy Pelosi and their phone sex call. You know how we've long said the climate change thing, not just a scam, but is basically a religion to these people? They worship at the altar of Mother Earth or birthing person Earth. Well, the vampiric one, Nancy Pelosi, who's been around literally since the Earth came around. She's that old. She's been around that long since Earth. But she said that climate is not a scam. And she has this is a really interesting point here that she makes as well on climate. It's basically a religious issue. I'm kind of pointing out what we've always thought, which is that to these people, they do worship at the altar of climate change. And of course, all the money that comes with that. So let's start with cut number 10 of the vampiric one, shall we? Take a listen.
Internally, we can do our maneuvering and bring our ideas to the fore. But without the outside, I want to thank all of the groups that are here saying that climate can't wait. I see some other Reformed Jews for climate justice. This is a religious issue. Protect people, not polluters. Protect people, not polluters.
A religious issue? This is a religious issue. So if you thought that for these people, this was all just a gigantic scam and is really their religion because they don't have an actual religion, you're not wrong. I mean, you're not wrong at all. And it's crazy. It's so nuts. For example, I'm of the opinion that if you can't see at this point that this is just a gigantic money laundering operation then you just don't get it. You don't get how real life works. There are people out there who profit off of screaming about doom all the time. I'm not one of them. There's a lot of people out there who do this, and they probably make a whole lot more money than I do. I just couldn't do it every day. It'd be exhausting. I would find it to be exhausting. But they do it, and they sell doom and gloom, and then they offer a solution that comes with money. And for the case of the climate people, the solution to the gloom and doom comes with massive billion-dollar investments in things like wind and solar and electric vehicles and everything else, subsidized by you and subsidized by ratepayers. It doesn't deliver on the solution to the problem. But that's the thing, is that you're selling something that doesn't actually fix anything. It is the ultimate snake oil. It really is. It's the ultimate snake oil. You can build all the wind turbines, all the solar panels. You can do all these things. It doesn't change anything. Climate change, the change we're supposed to believe is because of us, and we're supposed to believe we created this, we started this whole thing with gas-powered vehicles and all the other things that we were doing. So we started this. And now the fix that we have to do to stop it, to slow it down, to whatever, is we have to spend billions of dollars building these monstrosities, wind turbines, solar farms, all these other things that we have to do. And there's no answers on what happens when these things reach the end of their life. We don't know what to do with them. We just, I guess, throw them in a landfill and cover them up with dirt. And you have these massive solar graves of solar panels that are no longer useful. We got to get them all built in China. We don't know what we're going to do with all these car batteries when their lifespan ends. No idea. No clue. It doesn't matter, though, because it's never about actually solving anything. If you did all the wind turbines, but all the solar panels, if you did everything, what would it achieve? What would it achieve? So you maybe, and again, maybe you stop the temperature from going up like a degree, maybe. And I'm not even saying you do, because I don't believe that for a second. But let's say, hypothetically, that's what you did. So you're going to spend billions and billions of dollars to what? Stop a 1 degree change that you can't prove anyway is happening because of mankind or humankind, as Justin Trudeau would say. But it doesn't matter, because you're selling something and you don't want it to ever actually have a cure. Because if there was a cure to it, then you couldn't keep making money off of it. So it's the ultimate scam. Because no matter what you do, the climate keeps changing. So then you just get to keep selling more of these things. So you go, okay, we need more. That's the answer then. We need more wind turbines. We need more solar panels. We just need more. And you go, but it's not helping. Well, that's because we don't have enough. So we need more. It's the ultimate money-making scam. It really is. And that's why when you start to highlight this, they want to shut you down and clamp you down. Like the Global Wind Energy Council CEO, Ben Blackwell, who says governments need to step up their policies on online content. In other words, they got to go after you for disinformation. Every time a conservative anywhere starts talking about cracking down on disinformation, like when that FCC chairman came out with his nonsense. And part of the reason why I was so hard on that guy is because when our side does it, the left deep down inside gets giddy with excitement. Like, oh, maybe people on the right will go along with our ideas of disinformation policing and hate speech laws and hate speech code. Maybe they'll do it too. And then we can finally achieve our goal, which is to shut down anybody who disagrees with them and label it misinformation, and potentially hate speech, too. Because don't forget, if you can prove that people are dying because of climate change and you act like you don't care, that's probably hate speech as well as disinformation as well. So you could do both. You could do, and you could package everything that way, too, whether it's dudes playing in women's sports or it's climate change or whatever it is, or it's a vaccine or it's a it doesn't matter. It could be hate speech and disinformation at the same time. At the exact same time, you can get a double entendre right there, a twofer. Boom. So here's the Global Wind Energy Council CEO, exactly what he wants to shut down people like me and you. And then yesterday, this was the same guy who was saying that it was artificial intelligence. They had AI creating the dead whales and dolphins. It wasn't real. They weren't really washing up on the shores of New Jersey. No. It was artificial intelligence creating these things. And we're supposed to believe that. But there are people dumb enough to believe that. That's the problem. And if you police speech online, then if you were able to refute that with, say, news articles that show people actually covering a dead whale on a beach and that it was not artificial intelligence, they could take it down because they could argue that you're showing disinformation. You see how this works? They always get to control the message. Always. That's the ultimate goal. Because if you know that what they're selling you is BS and you try to expose it, what they have to do is shut you down so you can't expose their BS. This is why every tyrannical regime, every communist regime everywhere has always shut down freedom of speech and freedom of the press because they can't have anyone expose their lies. They can't do that. They can't have that. If you're selling utopia to people and you keep telling them utopia is coming tomorrow, it's like, you know what I love is that sign in a bar that says free beer tomorrow. I love that sign. I love that sign. But that is communism in a nutshell. Utopia tomorrow. Tomorrow's utopia. Just struggle through one more day, comrade. The utopia is on the other side. Tomorrow's the day. And then it never comes. But if you start to explain why it's not coming, well, then you're an enemy of the state, you're an enemy of the people, and you're an enemy of utopia itself. So we got to shut you down for the good of utopia. And then they keep winning because they keep giving people the false hope and the false promise. It's the same thing with the climate change. Tomorrow's the day that we're going to solve the climate change problem. Tomorrow. We do it tomorrow. Tomorrow's the day. We just need more panels, more wind turbines. We need more, and we need less. We need less fossil fuels and less natural gas. We need less of those things and more of the other things, and then we'll solve it tomorrow. Tomorrow. Cut 12.
There's a lot to do, and there's no silver bullet. I think that's one of the things we've all did. You know, there's no kind of solution that's just going to solve everything. So maybe just a few points that I think are important. One is, you know, governments need to see this as a kind of public safety issue. And they need to take a stance. They can't just be saying, you know, this is just free speech. You know, it's a really naive idea. And this is not free speech, guys. You know, this is not free speech. And I just want to be really clear about this. The platforms are controlled by five or six people. Mm-hmm. And it's about to get worse because we've got the whole takeover of TikTok by, you know, Larry Ellison and the Murdochs and so on, which is in the pipeline, right? So the big platforms in the West are controlled by five or six people. This is not freedom of speech. You know, this is a control of eyeballs and communications by a very concentrated people. So democratizing media and bringing more media and more reporting and human reporting back into the room is going to be really essential.
Translation. The platforms we don't like, we need to shut down because they're putting out misinformation. So it's not about freedom of speech, you understand. It's about shutting down those platforms that allow freedom of speech. Got it? Because those platforms that allow freedom of speech, we can't have that. So we're going to argue that they're just owned by these really rich, evil people. And then we just make them the enemies, and then we can shut down those platforms under the idea of democratizing people's ability to get their message out, even though people are able to get their message out on these platforms right now. The problem is the message that people are putting out is not the message that guy likes. That's the problem. So you shut down that platform. And then you have people like the vampiric one, Nancy Pelosi, go out here and say this, cut number 11.
That reminds me of how the president has projected his own characteristics onto this. He's a big projector. You know, he'll say people are this or people are that when it's really himself he's talking about. And he has said of this, when we were at Climate Week, many of us were at Climate Week a few weeks ago in New York. He pronounced that during Climate Week that this was a con job. This is a scam. No, Mr. President, you are projecting again. You are the con job. You are the scam. You do not believe in science or responsibility or anything, and it's all about money in the pocket of your friends and billionaires, as we have seen even with health care.
The hell is she talking about? And Climate Week? How come it's not a month? What I don't get. Why is it only a week? Climate Week. You're the con job. Isn't she leaving? I thought she was leaving Congress. I really did. But she seems to never go away. It's kind of the problem with vampires in general. They really don't go away, and they have to be invited in. But then once you invite them in, they just never leave. Kind of like maybe some of your lefty family members this Thanksgiving. I don't know if you're hosting or not. I know that we are, and we got a package today in the mail from my mother-in-law. Compostable plates. I don't have a compost. I don't have a compost. I don't know what... And I can't even imagine the carbon footprint that went into making these things. I don't care, by the way. And I'm not going to bring it up. And I'm not going to say anything. And I'm not saying anything. But that's the contribution this year, is the compostable plates, forks, knives, and spoons. And it's going to be awkward at the end of the night. I'm not going to lie. It's going to be awkward at the end of the night. After I was deep frying a turkey while drinking bourbon and smoking a cigar, and I have to be far away from the house, you understand, to do this for the safety of all involved. So I will be out there far away from the house. But at the end of the night, when I load all this stuff up into a box, all these plates and forks and knives and spoons, and hand it to my sister-in-law, who does have a compost, and say, "Here, you take this stuff." And I don't know how that's going to go. I really don't. I just don't know how it's going to go. But, you know, or what I could do is just wait till they all leave and then burn it, because that's what happens to most garbage anyway, is it gets burned. Like most recyclables today get burned too. But let's pretend like when you sort everything, although I don't think you have to sort it anymore, and you put it into the recycling bin, that it's really going to become something one day. Something special. Like the PSA commercial that we run says, when I grow up, I want to be a pizza box or whatever the hell it is. Let's pretend. Just go with that. Rather than this idea that there's no market for the recycled stuff and nobody's buying it, and so they're just going to set it on fire and burn it anyway. And just like with the garbage, because there's no landfill space, they're just going to incinerate it. But we can pretend, and I'm okay with that. And if you want to bury this crap in your backyard in a compost, knock yourself out. And if you're doing it for the garden because you want nice flowers and you want, that's fine. I'm not here to judge. That's, you know, you do you, and you compost you, and you knock yourself out. I'm just simply saying that if you honestly believe any of this stuff, you're just, well, you're enabling people that make a lot of money off of a scam that is going to come roaring back in our faces very, very soon. I mean, really soon. Like, when you hear Gavin Newsom at this climate summit, when you hear the crap that this guy's peddling, and you realize now that his whole thing, when we played the clip yesterday of going after Trump and making climate change a huge position as they run for 2028, and you say to yourself, though, but if this does not poll, like when you ask people their issues, climate change is not one of them. So why do they keep doubling down on this? And the answer is their donors. That's why. It's about money for them. It's about raising money. It's about raising campaign cash. This is not an issue that polls with the American people. The American people don't give a damn. We know this. It's never one of the top five issues. It's never something that actually motivates them. I mean, except the real crazy people on the left. But besides them, it's not. And yet they're all going to double down on these policies very quickly as we head into 2028. And they're all going to try to out each other to see who can be more pro solar panel, pro windmill, pro this, pro that. Why? Because of the money that will follow with them as they run for president. And don't forget, you're talking about a $1 billion operation to run for president of the United States of America, a $1 billion operation. Not necessarily all from your campaign, but from the various PACs that all make their contributions and that run their ads and do all the other things. That's a lot of cash. That's a lot of green. That's a lot of money. And all these candidates who fly around in their private jets and go from event to event, raising money and screaming about climate change, are going to be doubling down on this. I promise you, If you thought this was over, if you thought this was done, because Bill Gates wrote an op-ed in the New York Times or wherever the hell he wrote it, you're nuts. They're only getting started. And the minute that the election really opens, and really not even, I mean, it's now, it's happening now with this COP 30 stuff. I mean, they're doing it now, but this every Democrat's going to be out there pushing for this stuff because of the money that's tied to it. Because this guy, this CEO of this wind energy group, you're talking about billions of dollars at stake, billions. So then you say to yourself, okay, but I mean, don't the nuclear people have money? Don't the natural gas people have money? Of course they do. The difference, though, is that just like Pelosi said, this is a religion. The people that vote in Democrat primaries have been told that, like in any religion, you have to have a devil. You have to have an evil presence that the religion has to fight. So in all the you know, the biblical stories of fighting Satan, well, big oil's Satan and natural gas is Satan, nuclear is Satan. They have been told this. They have been brainwashed into this. Why do you think there's a climate change course in schools now that's mandatory? Because you have to get the kids while they're young to believe this stuff. And so, sure, these guys could run around and take money from oil, and they could take money from natural gas. And by the way, a lot of these oil companies are investors, major investors in wind and solar. Because they're not stupid, and they know that dumb politicians are going to push for those things in their states, and they don't want to be left out of the money-making opportunities that are there for that. But we're supposed to pretend like that's not happening either. And these idiots are supposed to pretend as if the devil in this biblical scenario, in this religious scenario, is not involved also in wind and solar. And they push that lie, and everybody's fine with it, and this is what we have, and it's really amazing to me. I mean, how we're still in this place, and it's about to get ramped up even more, even more. We've only just begun. Like Mikey Sherrill, for example, the Democrat governor of New Jersey, the Democrat governor elect. Is going to be absolutely 100% going all in on these things. All in. Now, if you are a Democrat who, say, sides with natural gas in your state, like John Fetterman does, then they hate you. The people in the primaries are going to hate you because you're helping support the devil in this religious scenario that Nancy Pelosi said. This is like a religion.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, and spend wisely, and parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/odyssey.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
So Fetterman, who we hope gets better, he fell, he hurt himself, he's in the hospital. We hope he gets better very, very soon. They want to keep goading him, say, like, into calling Trump a fascist, for example. And Katie Couric tried to do that with John Fetterman. This is of the interview with John Fetterman. There's a couple parts to this. This is cut number 8. Take a listen.
You've said that Donald Trump, in your view, is not an autocrat because his presidency is, quote, the product of a democratic election. But history has shown that even leaders who come to power through elections can still govern in anti-democratic ways. So I have to ask, when you consider some of Donald Trump's behaviors and policies, like deploying federal forces to U.S. cities, undermining the Department of Justice's independence, attempting to overturn the 2020 election, does that not trouble you deeply?
Well, of course. I was really the tip of the spear in the 2020 election in Pennsylvania, where he claimed that it wasn't like a fair, safe election. Absolutely. I pushed back violently on that. And I don't support many of these things that are happening right now. I don't and ever vote for those things. But now for me, it's like, you know, here we are. But I think at this point right now, we are not in an autocracy. You know, we're in a democracy, and that's why they were able to shut our government down. And that doesn't mean that we appreciate what's happening. And that expression, it's not normal. It's like, yes, it isn't normal. But that doesn't mean this is an autocracy right now. And what it does mean, that we have a lot of hills that we can choose to die on. But I think for me, I've just been choosing some of the most difficult ones. And that's where I've been, and not supporting, you know, many of these things that are happening.
Like Senator David McCormick just put out a nice statement, hoping that John gets better. His friend John, this notion of bipartisanship right now. You're being bipartisan with Donald Trump. You're being bipartisan with the Republicans around Donald Trump. You're being bipartisan with the devil. Don't forget that. That's where we are too right now with all this. You can't do that. That's not okay. You got to hate him. You got to call him a fascist. And you got to hate all the Republicans around him, too. You have to do that. This is cut 9.
Do you think that Donald Trump is not conducting himself or not pushing policies, though, that you would consider to be anti-democratic?
What I'm saying is a Democrat with a 90% record voting Democrat. That's a fact. That's not my opinion. That's my numbers.
No, I'm talking about Donald Trump's, some of the things that he's doing. If you don't believe we're living in an autocracy, would you concede that some of the things that he is doing are clearly anti-democratic and also are potentially even unconstitutional?
So for me, it's like, you know, we have a difference here. It's like, if you believe we live in autocracy, and I don't. And I think we can both agree that we don't agree with the vast majority of those things that's happened here right now. And I wouldn't do those things. I wouldn't have made those same kind of decisions for that. And that's fine where we are right now, a committed Democrat, and we happen to have a different view of these things. You know, it's like I don't call people fascists or Nazis or compare people to Hitler. And I think that's part of why we lost our election last year. You know, if you call the person that you might vote for, that implies that you must be a fascist or you're trying to destroy, you know, our nation. And I know and I love some of those people, and they're not doing any of those things. So that's really the thing. So and the vast majority of Americans chose that, an option that I did not choose, and actually campaigned the entire effectively the year for Harris and Biden after before he dropped out. So that's exactly where we are.
You see, you have to call him a fascist. It's unacceptable for you not to call him a fascist. You have to. That's the problem for John Fetterman. That's the problem. It's when you're dealing with people who have come to the conclusion that the enemy is pure evil. So whether it's oil and natural gas are evil, nuclear is evil, Donald Trump is evil, that's why they call him a fascist. That's why they throw around the H word. That's why they throw around the N word. That's why they do these things. They do these things because it motivates a crazy base that does believe very, very much like this is some sort of a story of good versus evil, and that they have to go and fight this. And so if you don't call him a fascist and if you don't say those things, then you're part of the problem because you're enabling. And John Fetterman is an enabler. He's an enabler. In their eyes, he's an enabler. More than anything else, that's the problem. Because unless you're out there screaming your head off that Donald Trump's a fascist, then you're enabling fascism. And that's where we are as a country. And that's why I have spoken out so much against the vitriol of the left, and I've said this is not a both sides problem, because it is one side that keeps using this rhetoric over and over again and now goes after their own people if they won't join in the rhetoric. Think about that. My friends at Emmons Roofing and Siding, American made products, American made. So think about that for a second. As we talk about tariffs, as we talk about trade, as we talk about trade delays and everything else, you don't have to worry about that with Emmons, because they are the Owens Corning Platinum Certified Contractor, which means you're going to get roofing materials that are made in Kearney, New Jersey. It's North Jersey. And if you're going to go with siding, like the CertainTeed siding, it's made right outside of Philly. Provia Windows and Doors, made by the Amish in Ohio. Anderson Windows, made in America. That's what Emmons is all about. American products with a great local team right here in our area who's done tremendous work in my home, two different homes, over the course of 12 years. And I got to tell you, we've loved the results. Kitchen and bathroom remodeling. Emmons did such a great job in our old home with that, but I'm now using them to remodel the kids' bathroom in our new home. And the Krista and Pete, the design experts, they come, they got the computer, they give you the simulations, they go over the products with you, the tile selection, the various different, it's so easy to work with and wonderful. And then, on top of that, you're going to have a lifetime warranty on your roof, not just on the materials, but on the workmanship too. In fact, Owens Corning takes this so seriously that they'll do random inspections of their platinum certified contractors to make sure they are delivering the finest craftsmanship in the area, period. And now that winter is upon us, you better get that roof inspected. And all you got to do is reach out to them at emmonsroofing.com. Get a free roof inspection. They serve our whole region, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and the Jersey Shore. There's a lot of scam companies out there. They'll take your money. They won't start the project. They won't finish the project. And you're not going to get that American-made roofing material, the American-made siding, the American-made doors and windows. That's what you want. The highest quality craftsmanship by the best people around who are going to stand by their work and give you exceptional, exceptional service. That's Emmons Roofing. Just go there today, emmonsroofing.com. Tell them I sent you.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Did you know that parents rank teaching financial literacy as the toughest life skill? That's where Greenlight comes in, the debit card and money app made for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and track spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn how to earn, save, and spend responsibly, while parents have peace of mind knowing smart money habits are being built with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. The big story of the hour brought to you by Dr. Mike Veneria, Veneria Dental. Two locations to serve you, Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Go see him today for your perfect smile, VeneriaDental.com. I want to welcome back to the show Michael O'Neill, Vice President of Legal Affairs for the Landmark Legal Foundation at the Ronald Reagan Legal Center. And it's great to have him back. Michael, how have you been? How are things?
Good. Just getting into November here. So before you know it, Christmas is right around the corner, Thanksgiving, holidays. So just getting into the spirit, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And it was the spirit of the shutdown, too, which is a magical time of year for Democrats.
Right. Celebrating the return to the government workers. I think we heard today hundreds of thousands of federal workers have now returned to work today. So once again, things are copacetic in our nation's capital.
It is amazing how they did it the Sunday after Election Day, though. I mean, how they suddenly had a change of heart.
Right. That's just purely coincidental, Rich, right? It was never thought about that. It was never designed to that everybody was going to go back to work the day after the election. No. I think Senator Kennedy from Louisiana had predicted this weeks and weeks and weeks ago. He said, look at what's going to happen 5 days after the election. Everybody's going to go back to work. And sure enough.
Yeah, I mean, you know, in Jersey, we're talking about 830,000 people that get food stamps or SNAP benefits. Right. All the government workers in Virginia, And right. What I also love about the Democrats now is that they're all acting as if they got nothing out of this shutdown. But actually, they got the governorship of Virginia, New Jersey. They got the Supreme Court justices retained in Pennsylvania. They won in places like Mississippi. I mean, they actually did quite well. But of course, they can't say that out loud, Michael.
Right. They got the AG of Virginia, too. Incidentally, yeah. I mean, I'm down here in Virginia. And remember, this is the guy who had those texts where he was advocating for the murder of his political opponent's children.
Yes.
And I can't, I mean, it's a shameful to me that I can say that I hail from the Commonwealth of Virginia. And now that's our elected attorney general, the chief law enforcement officer for my state. And that's abhorrent to me. And I can't believe that he secured a majority of the vote, but yet here we are. This is the times we live in. So,
yeah. Yeah, and during the shutdown, though, as you point out, the lawfare against the president did not stop. The the judges who were trying to overrule the president did not stop. I mean, really, that's the thing. I mean, if you're not a government worker, or you were not flying on an airplane, or a SNAP recipient, you probably didn't feel this government shutdown, because unlike the Obama administration, the president didn't put a giant tarp up around the Lincoln Memorial so you could still look at it. You know, you could still see those things. But for a lot of people, their life just kind of went on. However, what we didn't know was that behind the scenes, there were a whole lot of things that were still going on despite the government shutdown.
Yeah, I mean, the courts were essentially functioning. I mean, you saw there were some delays in filing, but I mean, to the credit where credit is due to the Department of Justice attorneys, those folks in the civil division, they were still working. So you had these lawsuits were still proceeding. You still had to meet judicial deadlines, filing deadlines. And a lot of these folks, again, with the Justice Department, they were in there working, and they were trying to take up all, you know, an inordinate amount of energy defending against these myriad of lawsuits that have been just unceasing since the beginning of the administration. And to their credit, again, if you look at it, how these progress through the courts, remember on our judicial system, we have the district courts where all these cases are filed. Overwhelmingly, and keep in mind this one, 12 of 16 years, we have Biden and Obama appointing judges into those slots. So you have a lot of sympathetic folks in those positions, sympathetic judges. We can get into some of the specifics of that if you want to. But so bringing those lawsuits in those courts, but as they migrate up through the circuit and then ultimately to SCOTUS, you're seeing some success for the Trump administration. I think at some point it's a plus 90% success rate at SCOTUS for the cases. Again, limited number of cases. We're talking about, I think, 25 or so cases up to SCOTUS with these emergency cases. But overwhelmingly, you're getting the cases that are getting up to SCOTUS, the Trump administration is being successful. And then even at the circuit level, you're seeing some success as well.
Well, that's good. I mean, that's progress. Yeah. It certainly is. And do you think that a lot of that comes from the Supreme Court basically slapped a lot of these judges down, right, with these nationwide injunctions they were issuing?
Right. That was the Trump versus Costa. That was slapped down. However, Justice Alito made a really good point in his opinion in this case. He talked about, he identified some loopholes in this. And you see the folks that are the lawyers who are representing the clients in these cases are really smart lawyers, and they will exploit any legal loophole they can. And the Supreme Court, to its discredit, actually left a loophole in that universal injunction case. And it said that it was only applying to getting a little legalistic here, the equitable power of the judges. You could still find the loophole, and that was a class certification. So if these lawyers could curry together a number of class and get their plaintiffs certified as a class, they could still appeal for an injunction, a universal injunction. And that was a loophole that wasn't closed by the court. Under the Roberts case, the Roberts Supreme Court really focuses on narrow issues before it. It doesn't really expound into it. But Justice Alito, to his credit, had pointed out that there was this loophole out there, and that some of these litigants are going to use these class certifications to still impose these universal injunctions on the country. And you're still seeing that to a limited extent. Granted, it's not as much as it was before, but there are certain cases where these judges are still extrapolating this and utilizing this, their authority to impose these injunctions on a class, which just happens to be throughout the country.
Michael O'Neill's with us, Vice President of Legal Affairs for the Landmark Legal Foundation at the Ronald Reagan Legal Center. Talk to me about public service loan forgiveness. And this was a suit that was filed on November 3rd.
Right. So this is a case where the administration is issuing guidance. They're actually not necessarily taking specific action. They're simply putting requisite states on notice and putting unions and institutions on notice, saying, if you do X, you're going to jeopardize your forgiveness. You're going to jeopardize benefits that are conveyed, discretionary benefits conveyed by the government. So in other words, if you're going to continue to discriminate, or if you're going to impose transgender inculcation into your education system, you're going to jeopardize your grants or your loans that the federal government's administers. And so a lot of these things are premature, but that doesn't stop these litigants from running to a court and trying to secure injunctions on that action. So what we have to do is we have to ensure a couple of things. You have to look at the actual action, whether the government is actually doing anything or whether they're providing specific guidance. If they're providing guidance, then a judge issuing an injunction really doesn't have anything to do, and they're acting outside their scope of authority. If there's a specific action and the administration hasn't followed the particulars of something known as the Administrative Procedure Act, the litigants will seize on that and will use that to say, okay, the president is acting illegally. He's not following the proper procedures for his executive action. He has to go through these hurdles. And so you're seeing that. So for the most part, a lot of these lawsuits are issued, again, prematurely. It's simply the administration issuing guidance and a judge seizing on that guidance and using it to stop the threatened action. Again, no action is actually taken place in these cases. In other cases, again, it's instances where the administration hasn't necessarily jumped through the procedural hoops under the Administrative Procedure Act, and the lawyers again are seizing on those cases. There's a little more merit to the latter cases rather than the former, in my mind. So the administration has to be sure that they're following the dictates of the Administrative Procedure Act, and when they put these regulatory actions out, these executive actions out, they have to make sure that they're kind of checking all the boxes, dotting all the I's, and crossing all the T's. Frustrating, but otherwise you leave yourself vulnerable.
Well, did you follow the arguments for the court on tariffs? And I made this point yesterday. If the president's argument is going to be that this is a national security imperative, we probably shouldn't be putting tariffs on spaghetti, because that kind of undermines that point. And I think that was I got a little sense of that from some of the conservative justices on the court.
Right. Yeah. Justice Gorsuch asked that important question. He said, look, if what's to prevent a successive administration from declaring a emergency with a climate emergency, right, and then assessing a tariff on gas-powered cars, the imports, gas-powered cars that are imported, 100% tariff. And so you have to be leery of that, and you have to be questioned. That was kind of gave a little indication. That's really the big takeaway from oral arguments with the Supreme Court, is you can kind of get what each particular justice is focused on. And that kind of, Justice Gorsuch showed his hand a little bit there. And of course, that really probably doesn't bode necessarily well for the Trump administration. But my bottom line with the tariff case is this, Rich, is that The administration really has to be right about five times. They have to show that it is an emergency. They have to show that they have to establish it's an emergency. They have to establish that regulate importation constitutes tariffs rather than just tariffs. In other words, Congress doesn't say tariffs, they say regulate, and that encompasses the term tariffs. So that's a textual argument. They have to overcome something called the major questions doctrine, and I think we've talked about that before, and I'm sure you've talked about this. This is where you have to show if you're going to take an executive action that has really vast and significant political or economic consequences, you have to have specific authority from Congress. Now, the administration is simply saying, look, that's not applicable if you're going in foreign affairs. But again, they have to get the court to buy that exception to the major questions doctrine, which again was just a recent iteration from the court, the major questions doctrine was. So the Trump administration really is kind of fighting a really tough battle here, and they have to be right at least three or four or five times, where the opponents to the tariffs only have to be right once. Say, well, no, it's not an emergency, or no, regulate doesn't encompass tariffs, or no, the major questions doctrine is applicable here. And if the court buys any one of those arguments, you're going to be left with kind of a mess of how to deal with the horse outside of the barn from a practical standpoint when it comes to the imposition of tariffs.
Yeah, and then what happens after that? I mean,
yeah, great question.
Because Republicans have the House and they have the Senate, so why can't they just do this? I guess would be my question.
And that's one of the things I'm thinking. I've spent a lot of time on this one. Okay, so what we derived from oral arguments is that it is revenue raising, right? Whether it's a penalty or whether it's a tax, that's what's been coming and haggling. But it is we are raising revenue of it. So in my mind, that means it can possibly go through Congress under a reconciliation. Reconciliation is a way to circumvent the supermajority requirement in the Senate. If you have a revenue raising legislation, you can get through by simple majority. I mean, so think about, I think it was Big Beautiful Bill, right? That was a revenue. So, yep. So if you can find that loophole where you could say, okay, a simple majority, well, I think it'd behoove Republicans in Congress to say, wait a minute, tariffs appear to be working. It's a necessary power that the president has utilized to our country's benefit in his negotiations with these foreign countries. Let's give him some sort of limited authority to work with the tariffs to do what he's doing. And if Congress could do that via a majority statute or a majority authorization, I guess it would have to be a statute because that's what they do, then you'd see, you know, it would kind of moot out some of these thorny issues that the Supreme Court is dealing with. So I think that also one other possible exit ramp for this too, I think Justice Alito talked about this in oral arguments, is there is some other statutory authority that they might be able to pull some of the tariffs that he raised, that he might be able, that the Trump administration might be able to rely on some additional statutory authority. So there might be some exit ramps if you get a decision, a fractured decision that somehow comes down and says, hey, President Trump was exercising authority that he didn't necessarily have. Also, again, it really behooves us to speak about the practical effects here. How are we going to work that out? I mean, are we going to somehow void these agreements, these trade agreements that we've entered into?
Yeah.
Are we going to remunerate some of these billions of dollars that we've already taken in? I don't see that happening. So there's a lot to work out, really. The devil's in the details with this, Rich.
Yeah, no question about it. And obviously, we got to be careful about future executives, to Gorsuch's point, which I agree. Yeah. I did like the president's point about how he's able to use these as a cudgel to get these nations to stop fighting, yeah, which I thought was probably the best argument I've heard about why giving him this authority is necessary. And leaving out the economic arguments about the pros and cons of tariffs, because that really is something Congress should be debating and obviously should be, you know, doing. But you know, I bring up the pasta point, the spaghetti point, because putting 100% tariff, 107% tariff on Italian pasta there's no national security reason for that. And I think it was Larry Kudlow who said this point. He said, you know, if you focus on steel and you focus on aluminum and you focus on those things, you're on solid ground with that. You start getting into these other areas, and then you're muddying the waters here in a big, big way. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Avocado. I think of like the ones that are still existing, right? The avocados, bananas, right? Mexico. I think that there's some of those existing.
Well, I think they're getting rid of bananas, and I think they're getting rid of coffee too. I think I heard that yesterday, which is good. Okay. I mean, good. I need my coffee. So.
Right. Right. And again, there's lots of plus and minuses arguments on the economic side. I mean, I think you just want to try to step outside and see, objectively analyze this. Landmark didn't file a brief in this case, but so I feel like I'm kind of in a neutral position where I can look at this and listen to the arguments and try to weigh the pros and cons of each. And I just think I have trouble seeing a majority of the justices buying the arguments from the Trump administration. The best argument, you made a good point. I think one of their best arguments is in terms of diplomacy, right? Is
yep.
this involves a foreign, this involves, you know, the president operating at the height of his Article II authority when he's engaging in international diplomacy. And for him to have this ability, this tool in his toolbox to be able to sit down with foreign leaders in these instances. And if there are trade emergencies, I mean, you can make the argument that in some contexts there is an emergency. The contrary to that, of course, is, wait a minute, we've always been in trade deficits. So, and then there's the donut hole argument, just to get in a little bit into the details. Everybody kind of conceded that the IEEPA Act allows the president, in terms of warfare, if we declare war on China, then he can use his authority under that to cut off all trade with China. Well, if he can use his authority under the act to cut off all trade, then certainly he has the lesser power to impose tariffs. And so there was a lot of give and take about that. Again, there are a lot of complicated issues floating around with this, Rich. I think you're going to see a fractured. You are going to see an opinion before the end of the year. The court understands the immediacy of the situation. I can say with a high degree of confidence that you're going to see a decision probably by the end of December. And then second, you are probably going to see a fractured decision where each justice is kind of probably be weighing in on their particular issue that they are focusing on. ACB, for example, tax. Gorsuch, what we were talking about, the separation of powers. I really think Roberts is tax. You know, whether the tariff, again, the revenue creating constitutes a tax, and whether Congress can delegate the authority to issue a tax to a president to create a new tax, the taxing power to a president, whether that's delegable. So each justice is really going to kind of focus on their own particular issues. Alito might focus again on any of these exit ramps with this alternative statutory authority. A lot of things going on. We're probably going to see a fractured decision, but I I'm as pro-Trump as it gets, but I have trouble seeing where that majority is going to come from for Donald Trump to support his actions.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree. I mean, just you're being objective in looking at the analysis based on the oral arguments. And, you know, I mean, obviously, you can only take so much from that, Michael, but it's we understand these people and we know the thinking of a lot of these originalists. But look, this was a great conversation. I loved it. Let's do it again very, very soon. Michael O'Neill, Vice President of Legal Affairs, Landmark Legal Foundation at the Ronald Reagan Legal Center. I really appreciate your time, Michael. And people can follow Landmark Legal at Landmark Legal on X, right? Did I get that right?
Yep, Landmark Legal. And you can check out our website, landmarklegalfoundation.org, and us on Facebook, Landmark Legal Foundation. Thanks a lot, Rich. Have a great evening.
Thanks, Michael. Appreciate it.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right. Dr. Mike Veneria is a great guy, great dentist, and the master of implant dentistry. He's going to give you the beautiful smile you deserve. So go see Dr. Mike today. He is the sponsor of our big story of the hour, VeneriaDental.com, and we're coming right back.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.